Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Namaste Radio. The intent of our programming is to increase awareness, inspire loving action, and ignite transformation and healing in our listeners, and through them, our world. Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. Please join its interactive spiritual community. Communicate directly with authors, guest bloggers, and others like yourself who are spiritually seeking a better way of living. Connect, make friends, and be one with our new Namaste Global community at namastepublishing.com. And now, please welcome your host for this hour, Marie Bernard, on Namaste Radio, radio that will change your life. Good evening and welcome to Namaste Radio. I'm your host, Marie, and we are joined today by Namaste author and energy healer Yvonne Rados. He is the author of Health, It's All About Consciousness, as well as Transform Your Life Through Sacred Geometry. We're going to be talking about sacred geometry tonight, as well as meditation. The Namaste topic of the month is meditation, so we will be getting in-depth into the topic of meditation. And if you have questions and you want to get on the air, the number to call is 1-347-202-0129, or you can also join in the chat room and ask a question there if you're shy to get on the air. Again, that number is 347-202-0129. Hi, Yvonne. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, and nice to be on your show.
How are you doing tonight?
I've been doing good, and I've been excellent. How are you doing, and how are you being?
Wonderful. I'm really excited to discuss your Transform Your Life Through Sacred Geometry book and card deck as well, and I want to talk about meditation. But first, I want to get a little bit of background on you. You are an energy healer, correct?
That's how I define myself, but I'm not an energy healer. I'm first of all a human being who is doing energy healing, and energy healing is something I define myself in order that you can understand and relate to me. So I even can call myself a soul healer, a human being healer. I mean, healing is natural to us. So I just help people to heal themselves. So I am not my doing.
Okay, that's fair. So it sounds like you're saying that you help to teach people how to get in touch with their own inner healing abilities.
In a way, yes.
Okay. And how did you first get in touch with this ability?
Since I was a kid, I used to help my family members and friends to be healed from pain, like headache, stomachache. And it was really, everyone was amazed by the result. The pain would be eliminated instantly. And I was growing up, and the more and more people were coming to me, and I said to myself, no, this is not going to work, because I have to have my childhood. And and also at my school, kids start teasing me and people start looking at me as an alien. And I decided, and I asked my grandma what to do. And she said, you have ability to express your talent, but also you have ability to repress your talent. I said, I'm not going to repress it. I'm going to channel it differently. And I decided to be an artist. And I joined a theater company and become an actor for a couple of years, maybe 5-6 years. I had so many performances behind myself and so many premieres at the stage. And at the age of 23, I decided to go at the university to study art and fine art. And after that, as soon as I finished that, immediately big success knocked on my door. So as a 26 years old, I was exhibiting everywhere. I was known as a great controversial artist. And after that, the war happened in my country, the country where my body was born, and I moved to England. And in very short time, I established myself there. So, and I became highly rated member of an international art community at Inclough, Halifax. And from 1992 to 1991, I've been exhibiting one-man shows all around the world. In Japan, U.S., Sweden, Amsterdam, everywhere. And 2001, I found myself in Canada, and finally I decided I'm not going to hide my ability anymore. I'm ready to really express myself the way I am. And here I am, doing energy healing and being myself.
That's wonderful.
Short.
Well, I'm so glad that you're doing that, and I've heard that your abilities are amazing. And I want to talk tonight about transform your life through sacred geometry. Where did you discover this sacred geometry and the yantras?
Since I was a kid, all other kids around me would write mathematics and equations and novels for the school. I would draw aliens and geometry symbols all the time. So I've been preparing myself for this for a long time, and I've been exploring my own inner soul through art since, as I said, since kid time. And finally I've realized it's time to really put all things together, all the experiences together, and express myself the way I really am. I don't know how that, sacred geometry came about. It's actually, I didn't create anything. The creativity created me. Put it this way. So I just found myself enjoying what I'm doing and enjoying my being.
Well, how do you link, first of all, if those who are listening don't know what a yantra is, can you explain a little bit about what that is?
Yantra, what yantra is? Yantra, in its essence, is the sacred geometry. And sacred geometry, in essence, is all about harmony. It's all about balance. So with the all through basic shapes and forms, geometrical shapes and forms, and that's the dot, the line, the circle, triangle, and the square. So you interact through those basic sacred geometry forms, which are considered yantra on its own. And you, through creativity, you enhance your awareness. You enjoy the process of creating, and you try to put the balance and create something meaningful for you, which you can use as a reference point to really start where you stopped. Enhance your awareness more and more. Be creative more and more, joyful more and more. So sacred geometry, yantras, in a way, are the entrance into another world. We consider that world as inner world, but that's not the right word to describe that world. That world is beyond inner, the world of essence or spirit. So spirit is also, spirit is outside as well, but it is inner. So every object contains the emptiness, and in that emptiness there is something beyond that's called the spirit or the soul or nothingness. So once we enter this world, there's no way out, no exit. We are there always. That's considered in yantra the beginning. And originally yantra was part of tantric philosophy. All the architecture was built according to yantra principles, sacred geometry principles, equations, and balance and symbiosis of all that is through geometry. And also yantra was used as a meditational tool to meditate and create and enhance awareness and create enlightenment. That's in, yeah. I mean, I can talk about it forever.
Well, we only have an hour tonight, so I want to throw out that number. If you want to get on the air and ask Yvonne Rados a question about meditation, the number is 347-202-0129. Are you open to taking questions about health as well? Because we have your book here, Health, It's All About Consciousness, and that really is where the root of all health and wellness comes from is, I mean, it doesn't, I was listening to a recording from someone today, and they were saying, you know, no matter what you put in your body, no matter what you eat or the things that you do to take care of your body, if your consciousness is not going on very well, if you're stewing in negativity, it doesn't matter. All the external things that you do are not going to make you well.
No, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. If you don't have consciousness, then you don't exist at all. If you're not aware of oneself, then you are not. Others are. And whatever, controlling, manipulating, making you do things according to their standards, according to their beliefs and structures and definition of what you should be and should do. So the consciousness is the primal source of your existence. If you don't have consciousness, you don't exist.
So when we're talking about consciousness in a spiritual sense, I think a lot of people would consider consciousness being in touch with your source energy, being in touch with that stillness inside. And a lot of people are walking around without that spiritual consciousness. But, I mean, they exist, right? I mean, we see them walking down the street.
They exist, but they are not aware of it. You know, consciousness is not about stillness, you know, because, you know, it's not about being at peace. It's not about this or it's not about that. It's nothing about outside reality, and it's nothing about subjective inner reality. It is the essence of all that is. It is all about witnessing. The essential core of consciousness is to learn how to be a witness. So it is about discipline. You are disciplining yourself to be present in the moment of now. You're reminding yourself that you are the moment of now. You are the wholeness. You are witnessing all the obstructions coming and going in front of your eyes. You are witnessing all that is not you. And who is witnessing? The witness is witnessing. But that's not the all. The witness, when the witness witnesses itself, that's the real consciousness. That's real allowing. And that's real peace coming as a consequence, real stillness coming as a consequence. So, for example, you're watching clouds in the sky. There is a witness in you which is watching you seeing the clouds in the sky. You get it?
I think so. So there's, but I mean, there's a witness witnessing you. So who are you when you're witnessing the clouds?
Yeah, listen to me. When you're watching the clouds, there is a witness in you which is watching you seeing the clouds in the sky. So can you visualize that?
Yes.
Is the sky real?
It seems real.
It seems, but it's not. It's just empty space. We see it, oh, there is a sky, it's blue, but it's not. It is illusion. So are the clouds real? No, you can go through clouds. They're just you know, vapor. It's just water. Is the one who is seeing the clouds real? That's the question. And that question is very, very essential question in meditation. Is the one who is seeing the cloud real? No. The cloud in the sky is objective. The empty sky is a field for that object like a cloud to appear. The one who is seeing objective is subjective. And the one who is beyond objective and subjective, the witnessing all illusions, is real consciousness. That's what meditation is. That beyond, not attached to both realities, is real. And you can't describe that. You can't see that. You can't explain that because it is self-evident. Only you can know whether you are witnessing itself. So that's why it's very, very hard to explain what consciousness is. Because consciousness is all that is. Can you explain to people what now means? No, you can't. You can only be in the moment of now. Can you explain to people what truth is? No. There is no way you can explain and teach people truth. You can only be the truth, the same way as you cannot really give anyone health. You can only be health. So with witnessing, you're finding your inner mirror. Things come, get reflected, and move on. The mirror remains empty, uncontained and unconsumed by the reflection. The inner fact is that whatever is passing over you are not you. You are a witness. There is a sadness or anger passing by. There is no need to identify with sadness or anger. No need to say, I am angry. You can experience the energy of anger, but there is no way for you to be angry. You are always in the center, a witness. That's real you. Witnessing the emotions, they simply disappear. Witnessing the thoughts, they simply dissolve. Witnessing the body, it just is as the vehicle for your consciousness to be present in this reality. So consciousness is all that is. And it's all about witnessing.
So, Yvonne, we're talking about witnessing and consciousness.
Yes.
So how do we get into that space where we are witnessing?
We are witnessing all the time, but we are not aware of it. That's the whole point. So that's why the meditation is essential. So meditation is essential, as I said. But what is meditation? When I'm running meditation classes, it seems that everyone is expert in meditation. But when I raise this question, what is meditation? Then everyone becomes quiet and said, I really don't know. And so really, how can you explain what meditation is? So there's no way I can define or answer that question. How can I explain, for example, the taste of an apple? I really can't. I can only give you an apple. If you're willing to eat it, you will know the taste. Only experience can be alive. Everything else is symbolic. So meditation symbolizes a reference point, a place to try, a place to experience in order to know the experiencer, the one who is witnessing. To witness the one who is witnessing. So meditation is like a soil, the ground, the possibility for the seed to sprout. The seed is the being as potential. That's who we are, being as potential. We don't have consciousness, but we have potential to be consciousness. We are God, but we have but we are not aware of it, but we have potential to realize that, to be aware of that. Water the seed with the consciousness, and it will be alive. It will sprout. And the being will be born, starting to grow, stretch, and expand. So meditation provides the entry into divine, the wholeness. So entry into divine, the wholeness. But the meditation is not the wholeness. It is just entry. It is a doorway, a portal. So it is blessing and benediction. It opens the flow of infinite health, which is in our essential nature, as our essential essence. That's the book, Health is All About Consciousness. Only through meditation can we realize the energy held imprisoned by our mind. When released, that energy will disperse all disturbance in our life, all the misconducts, all the blindness of our being, and finally we'll be free to see the witnessing itself. That free energy will release us from the prison called the mind and realign us with the wholeness infinitely existing in the present moment of now. As I said,
wow.
I can go forever.
Infinite, I mean, it's such a just the concept of infinity is, I mean, it's mind-boggling. We have a question. We have a caller on the air. Are we ready to take a question?
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay, so from area code 941, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening to you, and I enjoy very much your show. I'm pretty much the same alley with this gentleman. I am a meditation teacher in some way, in a lot of ways, actually. I do believe what he's talking about is so true in a lot of ways and resonates, and he has a wonderful ways of putting it into words, although it's hard to put into words experience. I mean, we try to tell the story. But I'm Greek also, I'm very proud of the fact that the universe gave me the ultimate gift of thinking of for myself and tried for my quest to understand to put a finger to navigate, to enjoy, to like a sprout, not sprout only through awareness and to tap into the wholeness. I want to sprout a separate seed. I don't want to be part of the wholeness. If it is, I take a gun and blow my head off and I'll be part of the wholeness quickly. I want to be me, and I embrace people to understand that this Buddha consciousness and wholeness is a wonderful grounding, but yet be proud of your unique gifts of both your ego as your unique individuality, as a quest maker, creator, provider of diversity, adversity, growth, evolution as a human being. I think the universe without the human mind wouldn't exist. Of course, it wouldn't exist, but I don't want to be a parrot or perhaps a virus or perhaps a spider. It's my thinking, the choices, my anxieties, my fears, my depressions, my joyful moments on the Greek islands on my boat with my wine and my people who love me. As a real human on this world that enjoys the blues, that enjoys the mountaintops, the white houses, and the red little flowers, that as a human also connects. So we do have the observer, is a longing. We've all been inspired by seeing ourselves as spirits. You know, nothing is more inspirational than seeing ourselves as a transcendent human being, that because that heals us from the anxiety of our own finitude. But all these stories that we tell ourselves, in which I believe, and I also practice, and I also teach, should be balanced with a humility and realization, you know, that we also are very unique individuals that should be proud for our countries. I wonder why Dalai Lama fights so hard to get Tibet free from the Chinese. I often say to people, I love Dalai Lama, I love his unity principles and everything that he teaches, but he's still fighting to separate themselves from the Chinese. If everything is about wholeness and holiness and unity and going beyond ego, why should we try to free Tibet and just make peace with the Chinese, since we're all brothers and we're all consciousness, so we're all coming from the same place? So I totally agree with the gentleman as a healing tool of what Ivan says, that going into observers here or even beyond that, because we are layers of observation. We're not just one observer. We are like a multiple screens, like windows in the computer, over and over. It's not observer. It's many observers that go deeper and deeper. or having said that, also we are the I, the one that's been demonized, the ego that's been always portrayed as the evil force. And not necessarily it doesn't have to be, you know. I mean, in some way, it can be the ultimate evil, but unless we if we balance it with, Ivan says, with a sense of unity, wholeness, humility, and then we create the best balance between what is the unity and what is the sprouting of the individual self.
That's right. You see, for me, I mean, you mentioned the Dalai Lama and Free Tibet.
Let's not go there. I'm talking about the principal in general. Forget about him.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. But you just mentioned Dalai Lama and suffering of people, and that's where I want to go right now. So, the question I will ask: Are we aware of our essential being? No. Why do we suffer? We are aware of the symptoms of our problem, but not the problem itself. Once we become aware of the problem, then we are not in the problem anymore. The problem will disappear because it was not there in the first place. It was there because of our attachment to the problem. We are not able to move on in our progression, in our growing. Once we become aware of the disease, we are no more it.
What is the disease, Ivan? And I apologize to you because I enjoy your talk. I think the beautiful lady that talks is a very insightful individual. But and I don't want to come across as a rude person here. But in a nice way, what do you mean is the disease? What is the disease? The suffering is the disease?
I'm going to put you on hold so we can discuss this more. If you have more questions, feel free to present them in the chat room, and I'll pass them on, okay?
No. Enjoy your evening. I'm not a person to go into the chat room. Enjoy this beautiful guest that you have, and enjoy your show. And thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in. Wonderful.
Bye-bye. Okay. Think
Bye-bye.
About what I
said. Oh, sorry
just
about that. I have on hold.
Just
so we're talking about identifying the disease, the problem.
That's right. So we are aware of the symptoms of our problem, but the problem is not We are all aware of the symptoms of our problem, but the symptoms are not the problem. That's not the disease. That's the symptoms of the disease. We are all distracted seeing something which is not. Even the disease is not, but that's where the problem is. The disease creates the symptoms, and we work to eliminate the symptoms. But the symptoms are not the disease. If we try to eliminate the symptoms, we will be still controlled by the disease, and the disease will show itself in the body as another symptom. So this is called merry-go-round, or chasing your own tail. So, as I said, suffering is not. Suffering is mistaken identity. We believe that we are the body and the mind, that we are mortal, the subject to process of birth and death, that we are defined by how we look, what we do with our bodies, what we possess and what we can or cannot do, believing in physicality, mental personality, scarcity, unfairness, injustice, so on. So when we identify oneself with unstable and impermanent things, we cannot live in comfort with that feeling of vulnerability. And we suffer from fear, stress, disorder, pain, anxiety. And as a consequence of all of that, we suffer from diseases. So you can't pinpoint the disease. You can't do it. But it is a problem. Because for me, the mind is a disease. The mind is not at ease with one's own nature. One mind is not at ease with the wholeness. Mind is separate entity. Mind is disconnected in suffering. What is the suffering? Suffering means to be taken for a ride between two opposing dualities, between positive and negative, shifting between positive and negative, being torn apart, being disconnected from the wholeness, which is the oneness in this moment of now. That's why the past and future are establish themselves in the mind as the way to tick and click and move in circumstances. So suffering is attachment. Disease is attachment. Attachments are at the root of our unconscious behavior, coming from the strong mental connection we develop with things that are part of our sensory experiences. What you want to become or not, what you intend to do or not, how you see things, how you define things, where you are in your current situation, all and more depends upon your attachments. And all attachments is about past. And from the past, we build the future, which is our projection. So we are torn apart between past and future, and we suffer greatly. We suffer because mind is creating the suffering and creating the disease, because mind is a disease.
If mind is such a bad thing, though, why do we have a mind? I mean, aren't we, like the caller was talking about how we're here having a human experience. I mean, there must be some positive aspects to us living a physical flesh and blood life,
right,
and having desires and perceiving the clouds and the table as real.
Yes, that's right. The mind is a beautiful tool. It's an excellent instrument. It can tune us into every and or any vibration because it is, in a way, a frequency transformer, tuning us, nothing else. But the whole point of me talking against the mind, I'm not talking against mind, I'm just raising awareness about the mechanism of the mind, that if you become aware of the mechanical part of it, then you can disconnect, then you can be detached from it, then you will not be it, you will use it. It's a beautiful tool created by the universe, by God, for you to enjoy and experience beauty and benediction and blessing from all realities, including this one. But it's not us. That's the whole point. We identify with the mind, but that's not us, the mind. So basically, what's the mind? Is there any mind? What is the mind? There is no mind, only the thoughts. Are the thoughts the mind? No, the thoughts are the cause. So then, what is the mind beyond thoughts? There is no mind beyond thoughts. The mind doesn't have form. The mind is not a single thought. It is constant flow of thoughts. And being trapped in thoughts is the cause of our suffering, disease, and disconnection from the wholeness. Having all the time thoughts, just observe. Observe your reality. Observe everyone else's reality. Thought after thought after thought. Polluting the sky. So the sky cannot be a field for consciousness to flow. Remove the clouds, then the sky will be free, and the consciousness will go in all directions, experiencing joyfulness in reality. Those thoughts do not have form, but thoughts can create the form. And when the thought creates the form, it immediately got attached to it. Form is unreal. It is part of illusion. Everything that has form is an illusion. To be attached to the form is to be possessed by the mind. That's what possession is, being possessed by the thoughts. Thoughts, they come and go. They're constantly moving. They're constantly taking you to that place, to this place, always somewhere, always outside of your being, outside of the present moment, because the mind is very aware of the present moment. I mean, very, very in fear of the present moment, because mind knows that if mind can contemplate the space between objects, it will dissolve immediately. And that's where fear is, fear of unknown, because you don't know what consciousness can do to illusion. You see? Because consciousness can disperse illusion immediately, just being aware of it, being witness of it. That's why the meditation is really essential to connect to the wholeness.
So, Yvonne, let's talk more about meditation, because it's clear that meditation is something that is really important to getting in touch with your true consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But in your book, Health, It's All About Consciousness, there's actually a chapter dedicated to you can't do meditation. So how, if you can't do meditation, how do you do it?
Well,
we're all we're all about doing in our human experience. We're all about
that's
thinking
right.
And
that's right.
Doing.
That's really a essence of meditation. It's not about doing. It's about being. So meditation is our natural state of being. In its full essence, meditation is the art of being aware, the art of being in the infinite consciousness. When all the mind activities sees you are the being, the violent, the silent witness, you are in meditation. That's the meditation is the natural state of our being. Meditation is art of being aware what is. Being aware is not something you can do. It is something you can only be when you realize that I'm not my name. I'm not my body. I'm not my mind. I'm not my emotions. I'm not my soul. I'm not my senses. I'm not my belief. I am not, basically. I am not. Only infinite consciousness is. Then you are in meditation. So meditation provides the ground for our growth. Some believe that it locks us into our internal world. But on contrary, it increases our connection with oneself through meditation. We become connected with the world more. By being aware, we build a relation between our individual oneself and universal oneness. We are already in that unity with the wholeness, the divine, but we don't remember that. Through meditation, we start remembering our connection more and more, and remembering will give you uncaused joy, joy of being alive, joy of being active, joy of experiencing this reality infinitely, because your consciousness is full of infinite possibilities. Infinite possibilities is the same like God. God is full of infinite possibilities. And God is giving freedom to everyone, regardless of the age, regardless of the social status, regardless of the social hierarchy, regardless, infinitely. And God is saying, I love you. I love you infinitely. And out of my love, you're free to do anything you want. Experience reality the way you want. You are the one. You're part of me. And your wish is my command. But people pray to God. People do so much damage to themselves by externalizing a responsibility, by throwing responsibility to something or someone. And they are not connected with that wholeness. That's why the meditation is essential to reconnect to that wholeness and take the power back and be more of what is essentially our essential nature.
So, Yvonne, what are some of the techniques that you like best to get into that space of meditation? Since we can't do meditation, what is it that we need to get in touch with? What are some of the practices that we can use to...
So there is understanding what meditation is. That if you can understand what meditation is, then you will immediately practice. I mean, there are certain tools and methods, but obviously methods are not the meditation. They are just tools to get you into the meditation. As I said, meditation is a field for consciousness to flow. So we use certain techniques just to guide us, to really push us in certain direction where the meditation will be seen as a field giving opportunity for consciousness to grow. So meditation is being patient with what is. To be patient means to be in trust, to trust what is and who are you unconditionally. To trust with both alertness and love. Love is the active ingredient of patience. Patience is like a flower which is constantly burning with consciousness. It is no mind. It is witnessing the ultimate truth, revealing itself to you. So, but on opposite, when you are impatient, you are constantly running around and getting tired, bored, and exhausted. Your mind is telling you that you are not running fast enough. However, the faster you run, the more tense, weak, and impatient you become. Our mind thrives on impatience. Impatience comes from not trusting the existence, not trusting oneself, because oneself is the existence. Trusting oneself, trusting unconditionally, you're immediately meditation. And when you are in that space of infinite blessing, then you can enhance the meditation by creativity, being creative, using anything available in this reality to create a technique. I mean, I can provide so many techniques, but they're not really important for you because it still is imposed by me. It is given by me. Why not using the creativity? Washing dishes can be meditation. When you wash the dishes, some people, they will wash it here and there just to, you know, move the dishes out of the way. Some people will drive, and they will constantly think about something else, not be present in driving. Some people will walk, but they will not walk. The thoughts will walk them. The way thoughts want to walk them, giving them phantasmagoric dreams and desires and illusions. Walking can be meditation. Talking can be meditation. Driving, as I said, can be meditation. Just sitting silently and watching, even watching TV can be meditation. What's the point of it? What, you know, how can you meditate and watch the TV? You can if you don't judge. You just be observer. You observe the one who is observing the TV and all those goodies coming from that flat screen. So meditation is all around. We just have to open our eyes. And techniques are in you as a way of infinite being creative with itself.
Well, one of the techniques that you've presented to us is the Transform Your Life Through Sacred Geometry.
That's right.
Using these cards. So let's talk about that, since we're here to talk about your book and your card deck. How do you link sacred geometry with meditation?
Okay. See, sacred geometry is all about balance. Certain archetypal shapes and forms are in balance for your consciousness to interact with itself. So the sacred geometry symbols, balance symbols, don't resonate the vibration at all. They're just two-dimensional representation. And watching the, or creating the one, but in, you know, in this case, I created a sacred geometry cards for meditation. So someone holding the balance sacred geometry and looking at the dot in the middle is doing nothing. The art of meditation is actually to do nothing. It's not, it is not to go with the thoughts, not to participate with the thoughts, not to create obstruction which will obstruct the consciousness. Whatever you do is a result of disciplining your mind. The mind is not. We know that. There are no thoughts. And thoughts are not yours. Meditate. Watch, witness, look without the one who is looking. Look at the looker. And then the consciousness will interact through the sacred geometry, through the sacred symbol to itself. It will start increasing. When we focus our attention to a specific symbol, balance symbol, our mind opens. Mind is a tool, as I said. Mind opens to the resonance of that particular archetypal symbol. But as I said, there is no resonance coming from it. It's just a portal. It is infinite in that. So you, therefore, training our awareness to resonate at a higher level, training our, disciplining our consciousness to still be in present moment, to be in stillness. The energy doesn't, as I said, emanate from the sacred geometry, but from the infinite consciousness itself, which communicates through the sacred sacred geometry form. The meditation then leads us to that unknown, to that reality of infinite divine wholeness. In other words, sacred geometry meditation works by tuning us to the wholeness of our one self. It is very self-interacting. So you are interacting with itself. You are, the energy comes from you, through you, to you. It is very perpetuum, perpetuum mobile, like ever going circular way of energy. But this is actually more like spiral or fractal way of expanding in every direction. So sacred geometry meditation is a process of enjoying being oneself and discovering the hidden corners in oneself. Because you are the infinite. You are discovering that infinite within self. So meditation is not narrowing our consciousness. It is expanding. It is attuning oneself with the wholeness of existence. In this present moment, right now and here. It is all about accepting all disconnected parts in us. That's what healing is. Through sacred geometry, we are healing oneself. It's a self-healing mechanism, self-healing instrument. And we become totally relaxed with who we are in this moment of now. Not doing, just being. Doing consists of a projected future relationship with the past events. Non-doing is the present moment. And you find yourself just existing. And that existence will enhance your intelligence, will enhance your creativity. And you will start doing, but you will be aware of the doer. And you will be aware of the whole game. You will be aware of illusion. And the joyfulness will come as a consequence. Meditation exists in the now. Don't do anything. Just close your eyes and wait. Layers of the mind will disappear, melt. The disturbance will go. Darkness will become light. And a deep settling within self will come. Profound relaxation will replace tension. And you will feel the flow of consciousness expanding in the moment of now. It's self-evident, as I said. Meditation is, and you will be in meditation, and meditation is that inner understanding. It is awareness, and awareness is non-doing. The process of growing and expanding with your infinite nature, your being is in this moment of now. That's what you realize and realign yourself with. That's what wholeness is.
Wonderful. Well, we have a question on the air right now. Are you ready to take one more call?
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, so caller from area code 936.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to make a statement and see if your guest agrees or disagrees, or if he would like to maybe put his own knowledge on this. I would say there's no wrong way to meditate, and there's nothing wrong with learning from someone else how to meditate. The reason I say that is because, much like anything you do in life when you're learning, you learn from someone who is teaching you, and then when you depart from that learning, you go and make it your own. You put your own spin to it, your own way of being comfortable with it. For instance, you learn how to drive. Someone teaches you how to drive. You don't drive just like they taught you how to. Obviously, you pick your own way to drive at that point. So it's the same thing with meditation. You learn from someone how to meditate, how they meditate, and then you take what they've shown you and put your own flavor to it, so to speak. As long as it gets you to that state of meditation, there's no one that can say it's wrong. Yes or no?
That's right. I mean, that's exactly what I went through. Because I was lost, and I asked for guidance. I didn't ask for any teaching, because teaching for me is the mind teaching other mind its own doctrines. So it's not about teaching, it's about guiding. So what's the point of telling the blind person the beauty of external light? Or talking awareness to someone who is fast asleep? So we are all seeking enlightenment, and enlightenment always dispenses with doing. So we all ask for, you know, a certain tool or certain technique, just give me that. If I do that, am I going to be enlightened? I mean, and that's where the guides or spiritual masters are really important, because they can guide you through illusion, that you can be aware of the illusion. But once they equip you with certain understanding of the mechanism of the mind, they will say, blessing, and you will be on your own. Because no one can accept you as you are, apart. Only you can accept yourself as you are. So the master can help you to guide you through the dark forests and say, okay, here's the path. You can travel. But there is another path. You see, left, right, up, and down. You choose. You know, but there are basically two choices in reaching divine, two paths historically. They used to be opposing each other, like meditation is the one way, the way of the mind, or love, which is the way of heart. Which one is harder? Who knows? No one knows. Only those who experience deep love, they will tell you it was just illusion. I was going through the nightmare. I was going through the disconnection from illusions. Or those on meditation path will say, oh, so many twists and turns, so many dark corners and so many projections there. But now I cannot tell really what was it real or not. I know that I had experience, but even that experience is not me. I know that I reached the peak. So when you start climbing the mountain, you can start climbing from the left side or the right side. But two paths, either will reach at the top. So the master is really of great benefit to someone who is seeking enlightenment, just to guide and give certain understanding on the path. It is all about unlearning, not learning for me. It is unlearning what you know, what you don't, unlearning and disconnecting, because unlearning is disconnecting from imposed beliefs, imposed structures, imposed knowledge, imposed definitions, what's real, what's not. Just being blank board, the divine can write with a white chalk on it for you to see it, to realize. So once the enlightened master accepts you as you are, then it's your choice to accept yourself as you are. And that final choice can only be done by you.
Right. Well, I would tell you the three different ways I meditate, and then I'll go ahead and thank you for taking my call, and I'll get off. But one of the ways I meditate is by chanting. I chant Nam Myoho Renge Kyo.
Excellent.
The other way I meditate is by listening to different types of music, particularly Tibetan meditation bells.
Mm-hmm.
The other way I meditate is I go off in the woods and just listen to the sounds of nature. Get as far away from civilization as I can, and I'm able to go into that altered state. Mm.
Some people will ask me, is there a wrong type of meditation? This is a very tricky question. Is there a wrong type of meditation? But I can answer to that question. If your meditation, whatever meditation technique you are practicing, if your meditation offers you thoughts which makes you feel serious, gloomy, tired, less playful, less peaceful, less relaxed, then you are not in true meditation. That type of meditation is futile. It is not giving you the access to divine. Perhaps you have achieved deep concentration or contemplation. I'm not referring to you, sir, but generally talking. However we define the meditation, if we didn't achieve deep rest within, then we are not in meditation, and the technique is not serving us. If there are any thoughts which, while meditating, then you are not in meditation. Thought vibration is clear indication that you are still in your mind. Also, when you are meditating and there is no compassion, as a consequence of you being in meditation, because meditation is all about love, and love is all about meditation. And the consequence of being in love and being meditative in love is compassion. Then you are not in true meditation. Lack of compassion indicates that you are closing oneself instead of opening oneself. You are becoming static. This will force you to concentrate or contemplate more, harder. So concentration narrows our consciousness to the single point and freezing our energy. Contemplation will stretch our mind into a linear horizon. The mind will be less tense, for sure. But the meditation is the relaxing the mind totally, saying to the mind, I love you the way you are. Just lean, please. There is something else which will enhance our presence in this reality, which will give us more tools to really enjoy and being really creative master. And the mind will listen and yield. And that's where a blessing will be, blessing from divine. So as I said, meditation is, we can all practice meditation just with being aware of what we do, nothing else.
Wonderful. Well, Yvonne, this hour has flown by. There's only 3 minutes left in the show. Yeah, so I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Definitely we'll have you on again. Next week we're going to have Dr. Bernie Siegel on. And Yvonne, what is your website?
It's www.ivanrados.com, IVANRADOS.com.
Wonderful. And I've put up a link to your book, Health, It's All About Consciousness, here on the Blog Talk page for this episode. So if you're interested in checking that book out, check that out. Is there anything that you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Accept everything as it is. Accept your negativity, accept your positivity, accept everything you like and dislike about yourself, everything you agree and disagree, everything you don't want or want, everything accept, because acceptance is all about love, and love is all about acceptance. Once you accept everything as it is, the way is, then you will not be in tension, and then you will relax your body, and your body will serve you properly, giving you health, giving you vitality and energy. So you will not be possessed by the mind and its thoughts. You will be in love field of total acceptance, and you will be in meditation, because meditation cannot be separated from love, and love cannot be different than meditation.
So it sounds like the key to meditation is acceptance and love.
Exactly. Acceptance and love. You know, when you accept your enemy, you are not in fight with enemy. Then when the enemy can do anything to you, it can do maybe to your body, but you know that you are not your body. It can do to your mind, but you know that you are not your mind, and you are aware of your mind. So you are not a slave, you are not a worker, you are not a warrior. You are a sovereign human being experiencing this reality by your choice. That's what sovereignty is. That's what real freedom is. That's what consciousness is.
Wonderful. Well, I'm looking forward to spending more time with your sacred geometry cards. They're just beautiful geometric images, and the colors are just amazing. I love them all. And also checking out your book, Health, It's All About Consciousness. Definitely would like to have you on the show again sometime soon. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Yvonne.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Have a great life. Enjoy it.
You too. Thank you so much.
Bye.
So that was YvonneRados.com, or Yvonne Rados, and you can find him on his website there as well. And if you are interested in checking out his book, Health, It's All About Consciousness, just go to the Blog Talk Radio page for this episode, and you will find a link there to NamastePublishing.com and his book, through them. It has been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you to the people who called in. Wonderful to have your input and questions on this call. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful day. Namaste.
Thank you for joining with us for this hour of Namaste Radio. For further spiritual insights and sharing, please join us in Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com. If you enjoyed the show, please add Namaste Radio as a friend, favorite the show, and tell someone about it. Sharing this show is a precious gift that's completely free. Thank you. May you enjoy each moment of your day. Namaste.